Okay, we want to say good evening and welcome back to an understanding of God's Word. God has truly been good, even in the midst of situations, trials, circumstances. We still see God in the midst, amen?
Amen.
And so, therefore, we're not shaken in mind nor spirit, but we have to have a sound mind, and because God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind, so we know what to do and know where we're at prophetically. So on that note, we're going to continue with knowing the time of his visitation, and also we'll go into the scriptures about how judgment, where we are prophetically, and it says judgment must first begin in the house of God. Before, in weeks past, we were talking about end time events, and we looked at the rapture of the church, and we were saying that the Antichrist cannot be revealed until the church is taken out. And so the church, well, Israel had a role, and because Israel dropped the ball, we keep our eye prophetically on Israel. So right now, Israel is in spiritual timeout because they fail to walk in faith or by faith in God and his redemption plan, and therefore they rejected the Messiah. And because they rejected the Messiah, God had to put them in spiritual timeout, and he grafted in the church. Was the job of the church is to pick up where Israel dropped the ball, and we are to evangelize or preach Christ into a world, to the world, until he comes. But also the church has, just like Israel, organized church has dropped the ball. And so therefore, just like Israel was judged, God had to judge them. And we're looking at this word judgment or wrath. There's two types of wraths of God. The first type of wrath or judgment is the end time, where God's full wrath is poured out on this earth because of sin, rebellion, Satan, the Antichrist, and all these things. God's wrath will be poured out. We're not talking about that wrath tonight. That wrath is called phuma in the Greek, and it is God's, when he pours out his full wrath or judgment upon the earth that's rejected his redemption plan. We're not in that at that point. But God has a wrath, which is in the Greek, orge, O-R-G-E. And this orge wrath is God's attitude towards sin. Okay? It's his attitude about sin, and it never changes. So even though he hates wrongdoing, he hates the fact of the fall, what Satan did and the results of the fall, but there's a judgment or a wrath to God that has to take place based upon the consequences of my wrongdoing, okay?
Amen.
That's orge. It's a wrath, or you and I experiencing the consequences of God, of our rejecting God and walking away from him, okay? That's what Israel experienced during their time, and that's what the church, when he says judgment must first begin in the house, it is his judgment or his wrath being poured out, not a wrath of destroying us, but we have to sometimes reap what we sow.
Amen.
The Bible says God gives us over. If we refuse to walk in the way of his commandments, he gives us over to a reprobate mind, meaning that he all protects. He steps back and let me endure the consequences of my wrong choices. Make sense?
Amen.
So tonight we're going to go back because we need to know the time of his visitation. We need to know where we're at prophetically. Prophetically right now is the time of God judging the church. And we're going to look at this through the scriptures so we can see that when he came to visit Israel, because they rejected him, guess what? His orge wrath was revealed or poured out, meaning that he allowed Rome to come and destroy them. See what I'm saying? It wasn't that he did it. It was the fact that they rejected his plans, his way, the Messiah. And because they rejected the Messiah, they had to deal with the consequences of their wrong action. So everybody wasn't destroyed. The true church, which was the remnant church, which were the disciples and the followers of Christ before he died, those people that were the followers of the way, those people that ate his flesh and drank his blood spiritually, they continue in his word, even though he said, the shepherd will be smitten and the sheep will scatter. Yeah, they did in a moment because we all go through this. We get frightful, we get afraid because we're in the flesh, but eventually they came to their senses. But that group of people left. They were gone. They were nowhere in Rome, in that area where the temple was, when Rome came in and destroyed it. The only people that were destroyed were the ones who did not know the time of their of his visitation. They didn't know where they were prophetically. They went to church. They read the Bible. But because they searched the scriptures, but in them they did not, they thought they had life, but they didn't realize that the scriptures testified of Christ.
Amen.
So if I go to church or I read scriptures not understanding the purpose of the cross, not understanding that Christ is the center focus of the Bible, that from Genesis through Revelation, God's plan of redemption was seen throughout. See, if I don't see that scripturally, I won't know where I am prophetically. He can stand right before me, just as Pilate, and I can say, what is truth?
Amen.
See what I'm saying? Truth stood right before them. He came in on a colt, and he came in as the Messiah, and they said, Hosanna, Hosanna, but with the same breath, they said, crucify him. See? They got caught up with the world system, the church world system, and they rejected that which God had ordained.
Wow. Amen.
We're doing the same thing today. We get caught up in the world system. We get caught up in our religious world, and we're no different than the Jews back then.
Yes.
We'll go to church and yell hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. But as soon as something happens, situation, not seeing God in the midst, not knowing where you are prophetically or understanding the scriptures, we can't see him, see?
Yeah.
We'll rebuke something that God said, I call and allow. See, I can take this whole, if I don't look at this whole coronavirus experience from the right perspective,
mm-hmm.
I'll be praying away God's will. me and a coworker was talking, and she said, you know, Shanae, I had to stop and check myself in my prayer. She said, because I'm so busy, oh, stop this prayer. I'm praying it away, but not seeing and understanding the mind of God. Lord, let us repent. Let us
mm-hmm.
come to our knees.
Yes.
Let us see the error of our way. See what I'm saying? So
yes.
Sometimes we get so busy because we're consumed by what we see. We don't understand and know where we're at seasonally in this. Y'all understand? In the midst of things that we won't know how to pray. And we're going to look at in Genesis shortly, how Abraham knew what season he was in and he knew how to pray. Okay?
Amen.
So let's start. Let's go back to Luke 19, and I think I said verse 41 through 44.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Let me get there. Give me 1 second. Luke 19, and we'll get to, let's start at verse 41.
And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes.
Okay, so before we go further, it is possible God hides things. When he sees that we have a wrong perspective or a wrong mindset, or we try to force our will on him, God knows where we're all at spiritually. So he will not reveal. See, everybody don't have the same, see things the right way. Everybody that's in church don't see properly, put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody that's in church, they don't always have 20/20 vision.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say 20/20, we're just saying seeing perfectly spiritually. Okay? Can y'all hear me? Cause,
mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. So God, when he looks, he'll look at the heart of individuals. And here Christ steps on the scene, and he knows the heart of these religious people. Their hearts was more focused on their temple and the beauty of it.
Mm-hmm.
They were caught up in the organization and the how beautiful the buildings were. And they thought this was the most beautiful building in the world. So, but Christ, what they thought was beautiful, God wept over. What they rejoiced over, God wept. See how different we are? If we're in the flesh, this is why you and I can't remain carnal as Christians, because I can be a Christian but yet carnal, meaning that I will see things from a human perspective or from a fleshly perspective. The flesh in and of itself is not wrong. The flesh simply means that I'm viewing things without divine influence.
Yes.
There's an area of areas of my heart that has not fully submitted to the way and the will of God, meaning that the mind has to be transformed. So in other words, if I'm holding on to the way that my mom brought me up, my dad brought me up, and I use that to live my life and raising my kids, when the Bible says train them up in the way, and so instead of me training them up according to what God's word says, I'm training them up the way that I was brought up. That's the flesh. That's an area of my life that has not been yielded or submitted to God. Y'all see?
Yes.
And we have so much stuff in our hearts, the way we view everything. If it's not, if we're not daily submitting to the process of the cross, God, whatever's in the flesh works against the Spirit of God. That makes sense?
Amen.
He said, for they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Okay? So it becomes a hindrance or a stumbling block. And oftentimes in marriages or what have you, when you're one is trying to be spiritual, we're not saying nobody's perfect. We're saying we're trying to be spirit-led and the other's not. They're coming from a viewpoint of the flesh. It's a hindrance to that. And you see what I'm saying? So in the marriage, it's impossible for the two to walk in agreement in a lot of things because one is looking from one perspective and the other from another.
Right.
So, and it's impossible. So that one that's walking in the spirit is going to, just like with Christ when he walked the earth and his siblings and they didn't understand. And they poke fun. You're supposed to be go to the wedding. Yeah, and he wouldn't go because they didn't believe in him. But he snuck there. He didn't tell them he was going, but he went, unbeknownst to them. So the point is, he grew up in a household. We all have to deal with that. So you and I have to be led by the Spirit to know how to operate. He grew up in a household where there was people in the flesh that worked against the will of God. And he had to be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove, and know how to deal with them. God does the same thing with us. He's not telling us to run out and go get a divorce. Oh, I'm unequally yoked.
Amen.
But the scripture says, but he told us, we said in our vows, what God has put it together, let no man put asunder. You and I got to learn how to walk and be led by the Spirit regardless, because we got things and people around us, they're not going to change. But God has to change you and I.
Amen.
You and I have to learn how to consecrate, steal away, get away to a quiet place. Yeah,
uh-huh.
You got things coming at you, but you got to learn how to take your time. See, we're responsible. God doesn't hold them accountable.
Amen.
He's holding us accountable for our relationship with him that we deem it so important that I got to, hey, you know what? Come what may, children. Come what may, spouse. There
Amen.
Has to come a time. We're not saying to isolate yourself, but we're saying there comes a time where, I mean, where we have to separate, get some, consecrate. See, we're not isolated from these things and people in the world, but we have to do some separation. We have to set aside some time where we can be with the Lord and know the mind. That's why Christ was still, he was with the disciples, but then he was still away by himself.
Amen.
See, so here he sees this, these people upholding and uplifting a building rather than their relationship with God through him. And what did he say in verse 42? Keep going.
If thou had known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes.
So in other words, they could have had peace, even in the midst of circumstances. See, peace goes a long way. Peace is more than just being happy.
Mm-hmm.
Having peace of mind is better than just being having some material things that make you happy for the moment.
Amen. That's right.
Because you can have all the things, material things in the world, but let sickness hit you. Let some devastation come. Those material things will not give you peace.
Amen.
Y'all understand? So to have peace in the midst of a storm, see, can cause you and I to walk on the water of God's word. Why? Because my focus is not what I'm going through. My focus is Christ and what he's already done. So if that's not my focus, then God will not reveal to you his hidden, his true wisdom.
Amen.
Now, see, God actually hid, he hid peace from them. See?
Yes.
It said, refers to willful blindness, which resulted in judicial blindness. Leadership will be given now into the Gentiles. So they were not responsible enough to handle that which God had given them, the leadership to be the leading nation, to evangelize the world, and to point them to this, to the God of Israel. God was not in the midst nor with any other nation but Israel. And when I say that, I mean he was in their midst. He walked with them. He provided for them. See, they were supposed to introduce the Gentiles to this God, and they would want this relationship too. But because they dropped the ball and they worship idols, they failed God, and God, these things that they could have had was hidden. Okay? Let's
Amen.
Keep going.
For the day shall come upon thee that thy enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side.
So you see the destruction that comes. This is God's Fuma. And I'm sorry, not Fuma. This is his Orhe. This is what his attitude towards sin and wrongdoing, it brought a, and we'll get into this in a minute, it brought about the sense of God saying, I'm just going to turn you over to what's going to happen, the consequences of what's going to happen because of the choices that you made.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the wrong decision. So because I step back and move my hands of protection, the enemy comes in around you, casts a trench, and compasses you around and keep you in on every side. And this was the Romans surrounded Jerusalem with a stone wall, making it impossible for them to escape.
Amen.
That's all he was saying. And let's read verse 44.
And shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation.
Now notice here, because they did not know or understand or care to understand the life and ministry of Jesus. See, this was the greatest visitation that anybody could ever experience. That's what the notes say. They forfeited that. They wanted their religious church and their traditions over what God wanted for them. Had they held on to God, God would have revealed to them what the Romans were going to do. See what I'm saying? And Israel, when they was under Samuel, and they demanded that Samuel get them a king. Wasn't that God didn't want them to have a king? God had already foreordained that they would have a king, and it would be David. He should have been the first king. But David, remember, was a young boy. He wasn't ready to be king. See, our timing is not God's timing. And so if we try to rush or get ahead of God and we presume things and we think that things gonna work this way or that way, and we try to demand God, oh, show up, show out now, Lord, do this, do that. Well, God already know your heart and my heart, and that we're not ready to handle whatever we're asking him to show up and show out about, okay? And so he know that it's going to take circumstances to get us to the point where we're ready to receive and walk in what he has for us. If I get ahead of God or lag behind him, I'll miss out on the things that he wants to prepare me for. See, God has to, every circumstance and situation is allowed in our life to prepare us to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. So if I try to get a ministry too soon, or if I try to get a certain position too soon, this is why men love religious and organized church. We can push our agenda on and ahead, and we get it too soon, and we're not prepared for it, see?
Amen.
But if we walk in the stride and the timing of God, God gives to us what we can handle. And too many people have jumped into things, and I hear you, we jumped into things too soon. Uh-huh. And it can be anything. I just use church and ministry as an example, but it can be you could have jumped into a marriage too soon. You could have jumped into having kids too soon. You could have jumped into, y'all see what I'm saying? Into certain relationships too soon. And God is saying, whoa, you're not ready to handle that. You need to know me. You need to know how I operate so I can keep you protected and shielded from the hurt that you cause to come when you plan for your life. You see, when we plan for our lives, we mess up, and then we keep messing up. We keep choosing the wrong men or women.
Amen.
We keep, you see, and God says, I have a plan. The reason why these diseases, see, God knows about the diseases that are out there. That's why he ordained that we shouldn't have sex outside of marriage. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so when we go and do those things, we thank God, the grace of God has protected a lot of people, a lot of us from things because we, in our ignorance, we walk in disobedience, and there's some diseases, there's some whole lot of stuff out there that we could have been shielded from.
Yes. Amen.
See what I'm saying? Some relationships we could have been protected from.
Mm-hmm.
So not understanding who we are in Christ, we can make major mistakes. Yes, ma'am.
No, I'm thinking about we're just so impatient. We don't want to wait on God. If God don't come when we want him, like you said, we'll go and start doing things out what we want to do, and then we'll get out there and mess it up. And then we're, oh, God, I'm sorry. But when we should have just waited patiently until God come and do what he was going to do.
Amen. Amen. So here, they were so enamored with the building, with the positions, with their traditions, and with the laws that they created, talking about the Pharisees. And the people that were below them submitted to it because that's what they thought was right.
Mm-hmm.
But it did not mean that they were not held accountable. They still had they had means and ways of knowing the truth, just like Uzzah, I think it was, when David went to bring in the Ark of the Covenant, Uzzah was a Levite. He was responsible, and his family, they were responsible for carrying the Ark on the shoulders.
Yeah.
See? And so, because leadership told him to go and put it on a new cart, just because it's the man and it's the leader, I don't care who it is, you and I have to have the mind of God. I don't care who tells you what. You got to read and study to know what the will of God is for yourselves.
Amen.
That's why he said, study to show thyself approved.
Yes.
So Uzzah could have been spared had he obeyed. He ignored. He knew that the ark was to be carried on the shoulder. He was, I forgot which one it was, the Kohites or the Merarites, one of them. They were responsible for one was responsible for carrying it on the shoulders, and the others took the tabernacle and the utensils. But anyway, he knew he was a part of the Levite, but he listened to man, put his trust in man, and lost his life because the ark was about to fall, and he touched it.
Wow.
They knew they couldn't touch the ark. Okay? So here we have, let's go back to 44. So he said that Titus came in and would come in and press them all around, and they laid that city to rubble. They reduced it to rubble. And it says, and your children within you, concerning the siege, over 1 million were killed, with hundreds of thousands of others sold as slaves. See, blacks were not the first to be enslaved. Slavery was popular throughout the world. Doesn't make it right, but the point is, they were reduced to that because of their own rejection of the Messiah. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We can't let emotions control us. We got to understand where people are and what's going on and why certain things happen. There's a reason. See what I'm saying? And so we can get so consumed in our emotions that Satan, this is how he uses us, emotions.
Right.
Feelings. You and I have to know the mind of God, because when you read in the Bible, you'll see where God told Israel to destroy children, babies, or what have you, and that those heathen nations. Why? Because had they were been spared, their wrong idolatry and worship would have come into their camp and infiltrated. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So in God's wisdom, we got to trust him enough that his way is perfect.
Amen.
We can't sit back and question things and wonder why. In God's wisdom, he knows the future.
Amen.
I can't get stuck in the past or what happened in the past. I can't, but I use the past to go forward.
Yeah.
I use my past to learn from the mistakes. Y'all see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Never use your past to stay in the moment. Because if we stay in a moment, you'll be controlled by your emotions, never able to get beyond bitterness, hatred, malice, strife. So we have to learn to let God lead us, control us, and let our emotions be wrapped up and consumed in him. Amen?
Amen.
So he said, and they shall not leave in you one stone upon another. This is talking about the temple, and it was fulfilled in totality. Every stone was removed, and a plow was run over the place where it had stood, fulfilling Micah 3:12. Remember, they said when Christ was crucified, let his blood be upon us. This is what they wanted.
Wow.
See what I'm saying? So a lot of stuff that's happening, they were sold as slaves, they were killed, and we will look at it in the natural and look at the emotional part and say, oh, how cruel was God. Oh, I've heard people say this, why would God allow good things to happen to good people? Well, we don't know the whole story. Y'all see what I'm saying? And I'm not condoning or saying whatever, because every situation is only God knows. But I got to be spiritual enough to say, I leave it in God's hand. Only God knows what happens.
Amen.
I can't get so caught up in emotions that y'all see what I'm saying? I'm carried away by feelings.
Amen.
Now he said, this happened to them because they knew not the time of their visitation. Remember, he said his people were destroyed in Hosea due to a lack of knowledge. He gave them the truth of the word, but it wasn't that they didn't know. They rejected the knowledge that God had given. Adam and Eve, God told them, don't eat from that tree. If you eat, these are the consequences. But they were controlled by their emotions. You see what I'm saying? Satan uses your emotions and my emotions to get his will accomplished in the earth. That's why we're facing the stuff in this world that we see today. That's why darkness has almost taken over a nation that was built upon in God we trust.
Amen.
Y'all see what I'm saying? Because emotions and feelings, instead of them being nailed and crucified to his cross, we got involved and we were carried away with our emotions and our feelings.
Amen.
And walking by sight instead of by faith.
Amen.
And then we're going to go to Genesis 18. Now, we talked about how they didn't know the time of their visitation. Now we're looking at in Genesis 18, and we started it last week, how Abraham, they gave it an example of Abraham is the father of faith. And he was a friend of God. Why was he a friend? Because he exhibited faith in God. See?
Mm-hmm.
He saw Isaac as a type of Christ. And because he was given a glimpse into the future coming Redeemer, God told him, it's not by your son, but I shall provide myself a ram, a lamb. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
He said, I shall provide myself a sacrifice. Not your son, Abraham. Not your only begotten son. And it was a picture to show Abraham the type of a redeemer that God was going to provide, his only begotten son. See what I'm saying? So God was showing Abraham, I don't need your sacrifice. There's only one sacrifice that I am pleased with and satisfied, and it will be the death of his only begotten son. That's what Isaac was, a type of Christ.
Amen.
God given his best. Amen?
Amen.
And so because Abraham walked by faith, see, these Jews in Luke 19 did not walk by faith. They walked by titles, position, their organization, the glory of their building. See what I'm saying? And we're doing the same things today. We're walking by how much how big our ministry, how beautiful our ministry is, no matter how small or big it is, we're walking in the glory of our look what we have accomplished. See what I'm saying?
Amen.
We're walking
Amen.
In the glory of the titles and positions that we obtain without going by way of the cross.
Amen.
We're walking by way of what we've accomplished by the money that we make.
Mm-hmm.
See, these are works of our own hands and our self-efforts and our own planning and scheming. But when we walk by faith, we have to walk totally, totally dependent upon God, not knowing. See, when God called Abraham, he called him and he said, come out of Ur. See, he was a Chaldean. He said, come out. And they worship all kind of idols and gods, right? The moon and whatever. But God called him out of that, and Abraham had to walk blindly, not knowing where he was going.
Amen.
This is a walk of faith. He had to fully rely upon God and surrender everything to God. Was it easy? No. Did he pass all the tests initially? No. But his failures caused him to get back up and walk the right way. See what I'm saying? So the reason why he's the father of faith was because even in his failure, yeah, he slept with Hagar and they created a mess. And we're still dealing with that mess today.
Amen.
But in his failure, he had to learn Ishmael has got to go.
Amen.
So Abraham had to let the work of his planning and scheming go away.
Amen.
He could not raise the promised child with, see, the work of the flesh cannot be raised up with God's promises.
Amen.
See, our efforts, our planning, and Isaac could not come until all hope of their flesh, all their efforts had died. Sometimes our blessings are on hold because we ain't stopped planning. We haven't stopped scheming. We still trying to figure this thing out in our own strength.
Amen.
We still want to depend upon our flesh. We still want to do things our way. And God says, you're holding up your own blessing.
Amen.
And sometimes we can't hang out too long because if we do, then God says he hid, see, their peace from them. They didn't know. He hid the fact that they didn't know that Rome was going to come and destroy them. So ultimately it was their own fault.
Wow.
Just as it is today, we cannot blame God. God does everything in his power to get us to where we need to be. But we hold up. We've limited the holy God of Israel. How? Because we refuse to walk by faith in the cross on a day-to-day basis. Amen?
Amen.
And when we don't walk by faith, we don't know where we are spiritually or prophetically. We don't know the time of his visitation. Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
So let's go to Genesis 18, verse 1. We'll start again.
And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Meribah. And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lift up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself towards the ground and said.
Now let's stop right there. Okay, keep going.
And said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant.
Okay, so we see here that Abraham immediately knew who they were, these three men.
Amen.
He knew the time of the visitation of God. It says,
Amen.
The Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. Okay, so it says the first verse of this chapter confirms the experience of the Christian that a fresh revelation of the Lord to the soul follows upon obedience to a divine command. Now, in the previous chapter, I think you can see where Ishmael, he had Ishmael and all that stuff, and I think Ishmael had to go. And if I'm not mistaken, I just want to make sure I got it. And so I think it was in verse 19, and God said, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son indeed, and you shall call his name Isaac. And it meant laughter. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. And then he said, and as for Ishmael, this is in 17, verses 19 and 20. Y'all can read this later. I'm just reading it right quick. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. See, behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. But God had to come back and confirm his covenant. See, they thought because of their efforts that God was going to work through Ishmael. But God came back and said, it's not Ishmael.
Amen.
And see, the seed that he's pointing to was really Jesus Christ. It said, through Isaac, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of mankind, would ultimately come. So he says in verse 21, but my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear you or unto you at this set time in the next year. Now, you have to see this plainly because God did not make this revelation clear to Abraham when Abraham was full force in the flesh, him and Sarah. When they were playing, he just told them, y'all going to have children. And these children, you're going to have a son, and your son, your inheritance will be as the stars in the heaven and the sand of the sea. See?
Mm-hmm.
So they had a vague revelation. But if you continue to watch over the years, as they thought they were trying to figure out how God was going to do this, and so they came up with Abraham sleeping with Hagar, the concubine, and producing Ishmael. And God had to let all this come out. And a lot of times God will give us a revelation or a vision, but the vision don't come to pass until you walk by obedience. See, so in the midst of the revelation that he's giving you or the vision, it comes in the middle of that is you got the revelation of the vision, and at the end you got the promised possession of the vision. But in between, you and I have to walk.
Amen.
And so we have to walk by and through obedience, and that's how God reveals. Only as I walk in obedience does he give me revelation.
Amen.
So as long as I hold on to the vision that I saw initially and never walk through, see, I heard, I'm a hearer, but I got to actually start doing, meaning that I got to walk, yield, surrender, walk by faith, fall down, get back up. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Learn that, okay, that's not the spirit. And the more that I do this, the more that I walk and fall and miss it, and, oh, God, I'm seeking his face, and I'm praying, oh, Lord, yeah, oh, that's you, oh, okay. That causes me to walk in the promise.
Yes. Amen.
Because each way, remember, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. So if your word is a lamp, that means I got a path. And thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The path, Christ said, I am the Hadas, the way. That is the road, the path. And I can only walk it in the light of the revelation that I'm given as I walk by faith in the cross, and he lights my path. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
As I walk. Amen. When they were faced with the Red Sea in front of them, Pharaoh behind them, what did they do? They prayed. They went to Moses. Moses prayed. God said, don't pray, but go forward.
Yes.
So the waters did not part. In the original Hebrew, when you read it, the waters did not part until they walked. As they walked, the waters parted. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So revelation is not going to come because you read a couple of scriptures.
Amen.
It's not going to come because you got out your concordance dictionary and I got the meaning of that. And that it'll help as you walk, though. As you put your trust in faith and walk by faith.
Yep, amen.
See, as you put your faith in God's word, which is Jesus Christ and him crucified, you're going to have to, your situations you encounter in life, your circumstances, they're ordained by God, because God, he tailor makes each of our circumstances because he knows how they will affect my walk.
Amen.
So each of us, it may seem little in somebody's eyes, and it may seem big in another's eyes, but just because in your eyes it seemed like a minor and a small thing, but in the eyes of God it's a big thing, because it will determine whether you'll continue to walk by faith.
Amen.
Y'all see what I'm saying? So if God just told you to, hey, go and stop lying, We may think it's insignificant, but you stopping in your lying can affect the next thing he calls you. So if I don't stop lying and he's leading me to the next thing, I can't go to the next thing because I'm still stuck in that. Y'all see what I'm saying?
Amen.
Malice, hatred, strife, whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's not insignificant in the eyes of God.
Amen.
We're looking for big things and big moves, and God is right there, a still small voice.
Amen.
Okay? And so let's go on down. So we see that God establishes his covenant, and he comes, and Abraham, because he has a fresh revelation, he realized it's not through Ishmael. He had to give up Ishmael. But God promised to take care of Ishmael, right? Even when he messed up and did his own thing. But God, it says in verse 23, and Abraham took Ishmael, his son, and all who were born in his house, and all who were brought, and I'm still in Genesis 17, we're going to get to 18, and all who were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the same day as God had said unto them, him. And Abraham was 90 years old and 9 when he was first circumcised in the flesh. And Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. It says, this is the covenant God established in his covenant, and he seals it. Circumcision was a physical picture of a spiritual act that takes place on the heart. This was the position of their heart. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It says, even though Ishmael was circumcised, he was born after the flesh. He was by his natural birth a rebel, even though he may enter in an outward covenant. So you see, even though he went through the motions, and many of us go through the motions
mm-hmm.
of religious church, but the heart has not been changed. See, outwardly we go through the same thing Ishmael went through. We bring
mm-hmm.
our children up, and you know, we drag in the church.
Amen.
And they go through the, well, you're going to read your Bible, you're going to go, you're going to Sunday school, you're going here and there. So outwardly, they're circumcised in the, see, that's outward, but the heart, see, that child has to get to the point where they, for themselves, embrace and come into a relationship with the Lord. So that was an outward covenant, but there comes a point in time where we all have to have our own hearts circumcised by the Spirit of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, I don't want to get into all that, but I want to jump down, back down to Genesis 18, because this is where we're at. So in verse 1, he said that, and the Lord, after all that, God established his covenant. Abraham walked in faith and repentance, and the Lord appeared.
Mm-hmm.
And Abraham sat in the door in the heat of the day, and when he lifted up his eyes and looked, lo, three men stood by him. It says, stood by the Lord. These were angels. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. Now, you see, this implies worship. It says, for he knew this was the Lord. See, God showed up.
Yes.
And Abraham immediately knew. But what took place before? When we're reading the previous chapters, you see what took place.
Yes.
Abraham was to the point where he was ready. See, when we walk in obedience, God knows what we're ready to handle.
Ooh, amen.
He was ready to receive and bring forth Isaac, because all hope of the flesh had died. Why? Because Abraham and Sarah walked in faith now. See, and so it says in 3, and he said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in your sight, pass not away, I pray you, from your servant. So the note says, and Abraham found favor in God's sight, but only by and through the faith which he exhibited. See, it's faith, for without faith it's impossible to please God. With faith, the whole process of what Abraham and Sarah went through, you and I will go through.
Amen.
With faith, you won't just hear the word, you'll do it.
Amen.
See, this is how we know if we're walking in faith. You won't just quote the word, but you'll apply it to your situation. And you will be given a revelation, see? Revelation comes as we walk in obedience. You don't. We're not just given a revelation for us to say, "Oh, we're so great. I've seen it." No, you and I have to walk in obedience.
Yes.
Based upon what God reveals, each of us will be tested.
Amen.
Let's keep going. Verse 4.
Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched and wash your feet. And rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said.
Now the note says, bread is a type of the word of God and as well of the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham giving the Lord bread along with his angelic associates proclaims what the Lord will do for the whole of humanity and above all, that he will actually be that bread. This is the bread which satisfies all spiritual hunger. See, Abraham had to get to the point where he wanted the spiritual more than the natural. And if you read in Genesis, I think it's 15, you see where Abraham's begging God for a child, and then God is like, I'm all you need. See, some of us, we can get beside ourselves with wanting the blessing that we miss God.
Amen.
God's like, am I not your exceeding great and great reward? See, ultimately, everything goes back to God. Everything after that, it comes after. Even in sickness, God wants us to the point where our life doesn't matter, but he is our all in all. You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
We can get so much that to the point where we just want to be healed. But if you get to the point where you love him, he becomes your great and exceeding reward.
Amen.
It's all about him, and your life don't matter. Not saying that you don't want to live, but it's the point that, Lord, if you take me, I'll be in your presence. If you allow me to stay, I'll declare your works. So it becomes a win. He's your all in all. He's your exceeding great reward. You see, so Abraham had to get to that point in Genesis 15, and now he's to the point where he's not wanting the blessing more than he want God.
Yes.
So because his heart is upright and he's now positioned right because the direction of his faith is the cross, the coming Redeemer. See, for us, we look back because he already came. To the fact of what he's done. But with him, they look forward to a coming Redeemer, okay?
Amen.
So for the second time, we're going to keep going. Any questions? Okay.
And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, nail it, and make cakes upon the heath. And Abraham ran unto the herb and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it unto a young man, and he hastened to dress it.
All right. So we see here that all of this was spiritual activity in the heart of one servant of Christ. It says spiritual activity in the heart of one servant of Christ stirs up activity in the hearts of other servants. You see that? Abraham knew who it was, and he hastened Sarah and to go and make bread and all this and that, and it caused her to be stirred. So when we allow God to stir our hearts, you see what I'm saying?
Amen.
God will cause, because you're stirred, it'll affect others.
Amen.
And when they went and killed the calf, this was a type of Christ. Now, remember the 3 angels that came. One was a pre-incarnate of Jesus Christ, and the other 2 were angels. Abraham recognized, and we're going to jump past Sarah because this is not the focus of the teaching tonight, but I want to jump down to 16 because I want us to see, because Abraham knew the time of his visitation, God dealt with him and brought forth the promise. He promised to bring Isaac, and you read that with Sarah and all that stuff. But then we jump down to verse 16. Now Abraham is also able to intercede for others.
Amen.
Okay? And let's jump down to verse 16.
And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way.
Now the note says the men were, it says the Lord and the angels. they rose up from thence. And it says it was not a look of grace. They looked towards Sodom. It was not a look of grace, and because of their great sin. Okay? Mm-hmm. And so, and Abraham went with them to bring them on their way. They walked a little distance with him, or he walked a little distance with them. Let's keep going.
And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?
All right. Now, I didn't mean to stop you, but now, because look at what relationship does, because I'm not just in religion, because I just don't have a form of godliness. When I seek God by faith and I walk in obedience to what he says, I have a relationship, I have communion, and I have fellowship. Now, look what he said. The Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Now, in Luke 19, God hid from their sight. Why? Because what? They rejected him. They upheld the buildings, the glory of it, the organized religion, the titles, and the position. Abraham let all that. He wasn't seeking those things. He had been humbled by the cross. He had surrendered. See, he surrendered his life. He first left Ur. And then he left his parents, his father, and his kindred, right? Mm-hmm. Then he took along Lot, but he had to separate from him. Okay, and then he the works of the flesh. He had to surrender Ishmael. See what I'm saying? And eventually, the promise came, and he had to surrender the promise child, Isaac.
Amen. Yes.
Abraham could not get to surrendering Isaac right when God said leave Ur. Or he could. It took steps. It took several surrenders before he was able to give up Isaac. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
God knows your. Remember, I said there's a difference from having a vision and possessing it.
Yes.
The middle is us walking by obedience and faith in the cross. And so, therefore, because when we walk in obedience by faith, it is establishing communion, fellowship, unity with God the Father, God the Godhead. Okay. So
Amen.
Now he's a friend of God. Remember we read that in Galatians? And
yes,
it said that the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? It says the secret of the Lord is with them who fear him. That's what the scripture
Amen.
Says, right? So keep going and see what happens.
Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of earth shall be blessed in him.
Now, this is Israel's purpose. Israel was called out of Abraham, Isaac.
Amen.
See what I'm saying? Jacob, 12 tribes. Israel was in Abraham's loins. Y'all see?
Mm-hmm.
And so God already prophesied to Abraham that he will become a great and mighty nation. And all the nations of the earth shall what?
He said,
shall they be blessed in him? See that?
Yes,
so it says both predictions came through exactly as spoken by the word of the Lord or by God. So this is why we're not people today. If you hear them, a lot of people are against Israel. This is why you got to ask yourself. This is why you got to look at things from a biblical perspective. If the world is for it, I wouldn't jump on the bandwagon with it. If the world is against it, you must be on the narrow way. If you're following, if you're against the things of the world, why did I say that? Because God predicted and foreordained that Israel will be the nation that all other nations will be blessed. Today, almost all nations are against Israel except for America. And he said, I will bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you. See what I'm saying? So we cannot look at, we're not looking at Israel because we know that now they're not in a state of believing God, but it's God's covenant and God's word that we uphold and his standards, what he desires for them. God's word will come to pass at the end, okay?
Yeah, amen.
And so even though they're in a state of rebellion, we don't turn our nose up, we don't replace them because God still blesses them. God's promises is still coming to pass. He still, even though they rejected him, he still holds them dear, okay? And so because of the promise he made through Abraham. So God keeps his word, not because they're good. He said, I'm not doing this because of your goodness, but for my name's sake. See what I'm saying? God's reputation was on the line.
Amen.
Because Satan wants to call God a liar. So he does everything in his power against that nation or against Christians to prove God a liar. And if I deny him, God remains faithful.
Amen.
If I reject him, God still doesn't change. See what I'm saying? But
Amen.
The promises for my life will be null and void.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Now look at how he looked at Abraham. Let's keep going because let me see how much time we got. Go ahead, Sister Terry.
For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him.
Now the actual Greek, the note says, he says, for I have known him in order that he may command his sons. And it says, this is the responsibility of the modern church as well, a responsibility, incidentally, which by and large has been abrogated, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of. It says it's looking back from this present time to the time of Abraham. All have come to pass exactly as the Lord promised. So we see God is revealing the secret. What is the secret? Let's keep going.
And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me. And if not, I will know.
All right, now notice here it says, I'm going to read these notes because it makes everything plain and clear. It says, the sin of these twin cities had become so great that it threatened contamination of the entirety of that part of the world. Consequently, they had to be destroyed. In other words, the Lord had to perform major surgery, just as a surgeon does presently in order to save the patient. Now, when he says, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it. See,
mm-hmm.
Sin had reached heaven. It says, all sin is inherently offensive in the eyes of the Almighty. But some forms of wickedness are more presumptuously daring or more intrinsically loathsome than others. And it says, of such sort were the sins of Sodom. The phrase, I will know, doesn't mean that God didn't already know, for he knows all things, past, present, and future. The statement has reference to the perfect justice of God. At the judgment, no one will be able to claim insensitivity or unfairness on the part of God. You see that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen.
So there are some sins, you see. One of the greatest sins is when a nation sees the wrong and refuse to stand against the wrong. That's one of the greatest things where God's like, you know what? I'm going to come down. I will know. I will know for a fact what judgment is allowed or has to come, because this is just too, when the church remains silent, when the church agrees with the sin. See, Lot, in this case, was a picture of the church, because the scripture says that he suffered his righteous soul to be subject to all the stuff that was going on in Sodom. Homosexuality or sodomy was one of the things, but that wasn't the only thing why Sodom was destroyed. It was mainly the people became insensitive to sin.
Wow.
All the wrongdoing, they had nothing, there was nothing wrong with it. And this thing could bleed on over into other nations. See, now remember, Satan is always trying to stop the work of God. Had Sodom bled into Lot, and then eventually bled, which it did, got to his family, then eventually over into Abraham. You see what I'm saying? Satan is always at work to stop God's work from progressing in the earth. He's always done it from the beginning. God said that man should be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth when he created Adam and Eve. What did Satan do? Immediately went in and tried to stop God's work. And he...
Mm-hmm.
Y'all see what I'm saying? Through the fall. But he didn't know God had a plan.
Amen.
So now keep going, and we're going to have to close on this note. 22.
And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord.
Now see, the men went on, the two angels turned their faces from Abraham and went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood, one person. See, one person has the ability, if his heart is right, if he's seeking God by faith in the right object, has the ability to turn the judgment of God or to spare the righteous of God out of the judgment. You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
It said, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. After the Lord explained to Abraham what he was about to do, Abraham would now intercede for Lot. Now, when Christ stood before Israel, they didn't want him. They rejected him. They wanted a temple. They wanted organized religion. And because they wanted that, God hid the fact that Rome, that what was going to happen. Christ told them, but there was nobody there spiritual enough to receive it, to see it.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying? I'm talking about from the religious people. Now, God's people, because Christ gave the warning, his people, the remnant, was nowhere to be found. The disciples did not get destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
Those that followed Christ, and I'm not just talking about the 12, but those that did not follow, they left. They were not a part of that destruction. What am I saying? When we heed, God will give a warning to people, to a nation. He gave it to Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
But they refused, if they refused to do his command or obey his word during the time of the plagues, then they will be destroyed.
Amen.
Y'all see that? So the time of visitation was very important. And on that note, we're going to have to close. The time of visitation was very important because the time of visitation, God always give insight as to where people are in a nation or during a certain time. You and I have to position ourselves to know. See? If I'm in the position of faith in the Christ, he says, shall I hide from you what I'm about to do?
Amen.
The world looks at things from a totally different standard, and if my focus is on what the world is focusing on, I'll miss God.
Amen.
He said,
yep.
In a time
Amen.
Of drought, your leaves, in Jeremiah 17, he said, when you put your trust in me and not in man, in a time of drought, your leaves shall be green. Everybody else might be withered away, but guess what? Because you're walking and trusting in God, God reveals to you what's happening in your season, just like the captivity. Jeremiah knew, Ezekiel knew, Daniel knew. They were responsible for letting others know. And those who had spiritual ears to hear aligned themselves with the will of God. Those who refused to hear perished.
Amen.
The same thing holds today. If we align ourselves with the will of God and hear spiritually where we're at, according to the mind of God, you can be spared. You and I can be spared. Because the secret of the Lord is with him. And if God revealed to Abraham the secret, the only thing that pleased God was the fact that Abraham's faith, he said he believed God, and God counted to him for righteousness. Y'all see, it wasn't Abraham's righteousness. It was the fact that he believed in what God was going to do through his son.
Amen.
And that was to die at Calvary. That's what Isaac was a type of. Amen.
Amen.
So today, God always revealed, he said, the sons of Issachar in 1 Chronicles 12, they were given the knowledge of knowing the times and the season where the people were at so that the people would know what to do. That's what the scripture said. If you and I are not positionally in the direction of faith in Christ in the cross, you'll be with the world.
Mm-hmm.
Tossed to and fro, carried about in the grocery stores, buying up everything because you don't know what. Y'all see what I'm saying? And God told them when they were in the wilderness, only take the amount that you need for this day. Those that hoarded, it's full, and they had nothing for the next day. They thought everything they hoarded had disappeared. You see what I'm saying?
Amen. Amen.
He would teach us how to be like Joseph in a time of lack, store up.
That's right. Amen.
So that when the time of famine came, guess what? Joseph and his household and the people of the land, they were prepared. They didn't walk in panic. They didn't walk in fear. They didn't walk in doubt. They didn't listen to the news. They didn't become carried away by what the world system said. Y'all see what I'm saying?
Amen.
So we have to have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. So on that note, I'm going to close. But we'll pick up next week at Genesis chapter 18. I think we stopped at, what was it? 22? We stopped at
22? 23. 23. We were at 22. We stopped at 23.
Okay, so we'll pick up at 23. Okay. This is very important, and I had so much, a lot of other stuff we need to get into, but, hey, we take it the way the Holy Spirit breaks it down. But we just have to know where we are spiritually, mm-hmm. and the way we know is by putting our faith in the cross. If your faith is in the cross, God will lead you and I for his name's sake. Amen. 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 So on that note, we're going to close, but we want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight. We pray that we said some things that will strengthen each in their walk. And don't be shaken in mind nor spirit by what you see, because if we are shaken, we will act or react based upon feelings, based upon what we see and doubt. But if we walk by faith, you will know, as he told the sons of Issachar. He gave them the insight to know what was going on so that the children of Israel would know what to do in whatever season we're in. Amen. So it doesn't matter what season you are in. God will give you a word. If you want truth and you want it according to God's plans for your life, God is willing, ready, and available to do just that. According to his will. A lot of times we have preconceived ideas. We got to learn how to nail those to the cross. Let God nail it to the cross. Amen. So until next Tuesday at 6:45, those of you on the line, hold on, and we'll take questions and comments. But we'll see you again on an understanding of God's word. Thank you and be blessed.